Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Average Joe Radio. This is Average Joe. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday evening. Man, it's been a beautiful day here in Piedmont, North Carolina, even though I'm still got allergies and sound froggy. Today we're going to be talking about the American Revolution. Just kidding. I know I kind of hyped up the UFO thing a little bit. We are going to talk about the UFO, We're going to talk about the only UFO ever spotted by man. To talk about that actual terminology, UFO. But anyway, again, thank you for joining us. Before we get started, we'll do some This Day in History. And I just said that about the American Revolution. Actually, This Day in History, the American Revolution started at Lexington. 1967. Maybe I'm off a little bit by on that date. Let's see, what year was it? I don't even know. Don't tell anybody. Anyway, I am stuttering tonight. We're going to talk about stuttering this evening on the Average Joe Radio Show. Also on this day, first blood in the Civil War in 1861. This is a big one. 1995, Oklahoma City bombing. Saw some documentaries running this week about that. It doesn't seem like it could be that long ago. 1995, a lot of innocent people killed. Having my coffee, so you won't hear a soda pop open on this show. I'm drinking coffee tonight. 1943, Warsaw Ghetto uprising begins. That was in Poland, World War II. Nazi forces attempting to clear out the city's Jewish ghetto are met by gunfire from Jewish resistance fighters, and the Warsaw Ghetto uprising begins. 1993, Waco siege ends. The Branch Davidian compound burns. That's a show in itself. 1897, the first Boston Marathon was held. What do you know about that? 1809, Jefferson sells servant to newly elected President James Madison. It's a little servant trading amongst friends, I guess. 1876, Wyatt Earp dropped from the Wichita Police Deforcement. Okay, enough of that. Let's get on. I was actually having a discussion with a friend of mine, and I'm hoping he's going to call in here in just a little bit. Pete, if you're listening, you can go ahead and call in if you like. The number, by the way, for anybody that wants to call in is 914-219-0884. We were talking about the Average Joe Show, and Pete says, man, you need to do a show on UFOs. And I'm like, well, yeah, I've been planning on doing that, and I wanted the UFO show to be something special. I really wanted to know what I was talking about. And I've heard, you know, stories and seen documentaries and actually had an encounter I'll tell you about here in just a minute. You know, when we were talking about the ghost show, you know, I had some encounters there too. So I usually, when I talk about something, I like to have a little bit of experience to go with it. So why don't I just start with that? I'll tell you, but But Pete, we had a conversation about it. That's kind of what me kind of pushed me, and then I've been teasing you guys with my promos about doing a UFO show. And we'll probably actually end up doing more than one because I have a feeling we're going to have a lot to talk about that we're just not going to have time for in one show. The number to call in, again, is 914-219-0884. So my story, my encounter, I've only had one that I really took seriously. This was probably around 93-ish, 92, 93, somewhere between 92 and 95. I was living in the little town of Oakboro, North Carolina, with my first wife, and we had our house was a two-story house, and we were looking out the back window one night, and we saw this pretty bright light over the tree line in the sky, of course. It was kind of sitting still at first, and then we started watching it, and it started making these erratic movements. I mean, it was way too fast and random to have been an airplane or an aircraft of any kind. It couldn't have been a helicopter because helicopters don't move that fast, in multiple directions. And airplanes don't change direction that quick either. And watched it for several minutes. As usual, I have no documentation whatsoever. And that's the funny thing about all these UFO sightings. Either there's no documentation or the documentation is really crappy. I mean, it seems like every photo you see, every photo I've ever seen has always been crappy. And that's really the biggest thing that kind of makes me wonder, about the legitimacy of it. I don't doubt that people see things, and UFO is called UFO because it's unidentified flying object. It just means that it's unidentified. Well, it could just be unidentified by the observer, the government or, the military or could know exactly what it is, and so it is identified. We're going to have a show. I was talking to Don Sue earlier, and I think we're going to have a show about identified flying objects. We're going to talk about Cessna 150s, DC-3s, F-15s, F-4s. No, I'm just kidding. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, it is kind of in the eye of the beholder. And, we so far, other than in the movies, we have not seen a big spacecraft or some kind of foreign aircraft, hovering over a city with, thousands to millions of witnesses with, good video or photography. It just hadn't happened yet that I'm aware of. The government, you never know what they're holding back on us because usually, the things that are classified or classified for a reason. So that's my story. It was pretty not that exciting, but it did happen, and I do believe that I don't have an explanation for what it could have been. It didn't seem to be a regular man-made device. Now that there's drones and stuff, there's probably some drones that can make those kind of movements if they were close enough. But this was back in the 90s. Another story that I have is people talk about abductions, and I have a friend who believes he was abducted, and he doesn't have any memory of what happened during the abduction. Now, I haven't talked to him in a long time about this. His name's Alan. Alan, if you're listening, this is your story, dude. But he was coming down an interstate on his way home. He had been to visit his parents, I believe. And he was coming home, and it was, probably, 50, 60-mile drive. And it was during the night. And he noticed that there was a mile marker, and and then he noticed that when he became aware again that the mile marker had, like, he had lost about, I don't know how many miles he said. It was a lot of miles that he had lost. Now, I am, you know, again, he's not here to tell the story, but, you know, he sounded pretty convincing when he told me. And then, again, you know, here's plenty of hearsay for you, and I'm sorry I don't have an actual alien here to, by the way, if you are an alien, other than the ones that are from the planet Earth, if you're from another planet, please to call in 914-219-0884. I'd love to hear from these extraterrestrials. That would be great if you could call in. That would be great. Or if you have a story, if you've seen a UFO and you want to tell us about it, please call in. I'd love to hear your story. But Alan says, you know, he lost that time, and it was like he was gone, and, you know. But, I mean, I kind of personally, I count that, because that happens to me a lot when I'm driving, too. It's like you'll just be kind of on autopilot, and you're driving, and, you know, if you've driven for a lot of years, like I have, you know, you do that sometimes. You'll just kind of go off to the Bahamas in your mind, while your body is on autopilot driving the car. And then you'll suddenly go, oh gosh, what happened the last 20 miles? You know, like you don't even remember the last 20 miles. I mean, that's happened to me for years, and that could have been what happened to Alan, but who knows? Maybe not. 914-219-0884. Give us a call. I'd love to hear your story. Again, we will have another show about this, and I hope to do it next week, depending on what happens here. I mean, this show's fluid. It's live. You don't know how many people's going to call in. We don't know what we're going to get. We're going to start talking about. If we get into something really interesting, then we will we'll keep talking about it. So it looks like we've got a caller here. Hello, caller.
Hi, Stan. How you doing today?
Good. Is this Pete?
This is your good friend Pete. That's right. And I have a little bit of a story about these unidentified things I could be more than happy to share with you.
Please do. That's what I'm after. And also, we'll go ahead and do that, and then I've got a couple of questions for you.
Sure. Well, I know you really thought when I called that I was finally going to admit to you that I really am a space alien, but that's not the case this time, okay, Stan?
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, I'll give you a little story. I used to have a nice big boat out on the Chesapeake Bay when we lived up in Virginia, and, you know, took the family out one day. Actually, amazingly enough, it was 4th of July. But I took the family out 4th of July. We went fishing. What we would do is we'd watch the fireworks, and then later on we'd, you know, it was a cabin cruiser, so the kids could sleep and all that. And we just wore off in a couple of favorite little holes we had. And, you know, the kids were to go below, go to sleep, watch TV, go to sleep, and we'd have a few beers and sit on the back and catfish. And generally we'd stay up, you know, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. So this particular night we were actually right off of Dahlgren Naval Base. We're sitting there. We're about a mile off in the middle of Potomac River. I mean, where it's about 6-7 miles across right there. It's pretty deep right there. And, you know, we look up and we see this luminescent light coming in. And it actually had a tracer behind it. It looked like it was a green tracer. Now, not like a firework, but like a green glowing, you know, trailing behind. It actually, to me, looked like a meteor. And, you know, everybody was excited. Oh, this thing, look at that. I said, you know, guys, it's just a meteor. Just the way it's coming in, at the angle it comes in, it could just be that it looks like it's coming a lot slower than it really would fall. And, you know, these things
right.
happen all the time. We were sitting
right.
there watching it, and then disappeared. And 5 minutes later, Lisa looks at me, and she goes, it's back. And we look up, and right in the spot where it stopped, it comes right, it's right there again. And this time it's moving around up and down, coming down closer to us. It's still, you know, 1,000, 2,000 feet up, moving around, making very strange movements. And as it was moving, it literally was doing a tracer. They would come down, it would take a, you know, right turn, it would go up and go back up again. And in the meanwhile, it would leave this green luminescent glow behind it. It would fade out after 2 or 3 seconds. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, it just shot to the south instantly. I mean, it was like an acceleration of many, many, you know, like 4 or 5 G's and must have been pulling when it was doing it. It was just like a bullet shot and disappeared. It was the most bizarre thing you've ever seen.
So you're
and,
pretty
you know,
convinced.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we
even
were there.
You were.
We weren't that bad. Captain, so I had to behave myself a little bit. But, you know, we had 5, 6 people sitting there watching it. And, you know, I'm a former military aviation guy and, you know, licensed pilot, airplane mechanic. I used to actually work on rockets and things of that nature. So I know everything that's in the sky that's identifiable. And it definitely wasn't anything that any government or any commercial entity we have are. That doesn't mean it was a little shiny little platinum thing with a bunch of green guys with 15 eyes, eyeballs each in there either. But definitely was something that was unexplainable.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's all it takes. I mean, that's why it's called unidentified. So what I was going to say is, even though you were close to a naval base, you're convinced that it wasn't anything that our military would have had in the sky.
You know, at that time I had a secret clearance, top secret clearance, and was actually working with Navy Research Lab and Army and all those guys. If we had that kind of technology, we would be flaunting it a little bit better. I'm sure that wasn't the case. Interesting thing though was that, you know, this is really a neat time for UFOs because so much stuff that the government has observed is now being declassified. And if you've been following all these occurrences with, you know, these Navy ships where the pilots have been, you know, the Navy ships, one happened in the Pacific here that they declassified the film from the, you know, the Hornets that were chasing this thing. And also they had another case where they were following the ships over to the Persian Gulf. A bunch of UFOs that they were detecting every single day for like 10 days right off of Norfolk. Well, this thing that we saw behaved at flight characteristics nearly identical to what these guys were seeing. So, but the interesting, I mean, this is less than 30 miles from the nation's capital. That's the scary thing about it. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. You know?
Right. Right. Well, so that was, I know you and I had a conversation briefly. I believe the last time I was at your house about the declassified of some of these events, and I was trying to find some of that. I was looking. Just off the top of your head, where did you look to find that stuff?
Well, there was a television show on for a while, but actually Fox News carried it pretty extensively too. If you go Fox News and go UFO, click on release. There's, you know, the. There's been quite a bit. I mean, those tapes and the tapes that the Navy aviators, at least some of them, you know, the gun cameras from there, some of the radar stuff has now been declassified. And the other thing that they've changed is the Navy has actually changed the protocol, and they're actually asking the pilots now to make reports and come out and be – and you know, they're not being ostracized anymore when they're seeing stuff like this. You know,
right.
It's the exact opposite. They're – I think that the Department of Defense is now saying, okay, we, you know, regardless what these things are, you know, we need to find out what they are, because if they can come in right in the middle of a, you know, in middle of a fleet out there in the ocean and follow us for 20 days while we're going from one hemisphere to the other, you know, we can figure out what this is out there.
You definitely need to start taking it seriously. And maybe they have been. They just didn't talk about it, you know, in the past. Do you think that the popularity of, you know, well, I mean, Hollywood has been, you know, producing stuff about aliens and UFOs for, you know, probably almost as long as Hollywood's been producing movies. But, I mean, you know, there's stuff. Definitely way back in the 50s, you know, science fiction was real popular and has been ever since. Do you think, is there any validity to Hollywood being plugged in somehow? And I know this is real conspiracy sounding, but that they're trying to groom, you know, Earthlings to accept, you know, the reality of, you know, extraterrestrials?
You know, I seem to think that if people knew there were extraterrestrials out there, I don't think we'd have a problem with it. So I don't know whether we need a grooming, so to speak. So I just think a conspiracy that big would kind of be hard to keep. That being said, on the other end, I mean, if you just look at the plain numbers of it, you know, to think that we're the only intelligent species in the universe is insane. I mean, there's so many planets. I mean, we in the old days, you know, we didn't know how many planets were around each star, but now we're finding planets, so many planets, that the numbers of planets out there, just they're astronomical. Then it's billions of, you know, billions of billions of planets are out there. It's insane to think there's not there. It's also crazy to think that if there's a way for them to get here, they A, wouldn't be aware that we're here, or B, wouldn't, you know, want to come and check us out. That being said, I think any advanced civilization would be smart enough to know that, you know, if they make themselves known, or if they were, you know, when two vastly different groups meet, one destroys the other, whether they intend to or not. It just so happens if they become aware of each other. It's kind of like an Amazonian tribe and, you know, us. Yeah, we got to kind of keep some distance there. Otherwise, it just overwhelms, and it just the one society disappears and the other one kind of takes over.
Right.
So I think any group out there that would be benevolent would want to keep their distance and could, you know, with the way technology, the possibilities of technology, could quite easily keep themselves from being seen.
Well, and then too, if they had that kind of technology, if their intention was to take us out, they would have probably already done it.
Oh, long time ago they would have done it. And there's a lot of ways they could have done it. So I don't think you have that case where there's some malevolent entities out there that are looking at us and stuff. But I do think you have a case where you got some benevolent ones that's pretty well aware that we're a primitive planet that's not so primitive, and I would think they would send something here, you know, to check us out. I mean, we would. If all of a sudden we started hearing, you know, I Love Lucy broadcast coming from the other side of Mars, you know,
yeah,
we'd send something up there to take a look, you know? It's just crazy to think you wouldn't, because information is, you know, is necessary to keep things, you know, peaceful and safe.
See, that's another thing, you know, NASA, you know, they sent out Voyager and Voyager 2, and they're still out there. You know, they're outside of our galaxy now, but or at least outside of our solar system. And, you know, they've got the message of who we are and where we are and what we are. And then we're constantly sending out, you know, radio messages, and we're constantly listening, you know, for radio signals. You know, so do we really want them to know? Is it wise to even be sending these messages, you know?
Well, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, it probably isn't wise, but any advanced technology, you know, society would be aware we were here anyways, but it probably isn't wise.
Yeah.
To be broadcasting, hey, there's a great place over here. We got this beautiful planet here with all kinds of resources. And you know, people, you know, might not get the best group there. But I would think that after time that, you know, societies would evolve to a point where that wasn't really the driving force. I mean, advanced technology that could get here would have the technology to terraform any, you know, and move around any planet anyway. So it's not like they would really need us here. But I'm a firm believer that, you know, it'd be very improbable that there wouldn't be folks poking around here. But that being said, I think Hollywood, I don't think Hollywood can keep a secret, to tell you the truth. I mean, I could think the military or the
that's a good
government
point.
Power could, you know. And they probably are. I mean, you know, a few interesting things happened the last few years. I mean, this last, body that came from outside of the solar system that I can't remember pronounce. It was some Polynesian word, Umano or something, that came in from outside the solar system and went around the sun, came, went back out there. And that was a very interesting you know, traveler from outside. You know, that's one of the first, I think it's the first body that we found that actually came from outside of our solar system. And it has some pretty interesting properties. Like, it was long and skinny, and it seemed to actually accelerate as it left the sun, as it went around the sun and came back out again. You know,
yeah.
And who's to say that wasn't a probe? I would be shocked if that wasn't some, if somebody hadn't tagged along on that thing, if they had to. But, well, like I said, we don't know yet. We'll figure it out one day, right?
Well, maybe. We'll see. Something else I wanted to ask you. Okay. You mentioned about the number of planets and solar systems and galaxies and so on, and the odds of there being other planets just seem, or, you know, other life and other planets that have life and possibly intelligent life. I just wanted to be that devil's advocate. The odds, are tremendous, you know, of all the planets. But then when you throw in all of the criteria for a planet to be able to sustain life and then also to sustain it long enough for it to evolve into intelligent life, you know, you bring those odds way down. And then, I mean, we could get into a whole nother long discussion. Maybe you and I'll need to just have some time over a beer, but so far as when it comes to reality and perception and all that, you know, all that wonderful stuff, does that, I mean, I know you've thought about that, but just, I'm just throwing that out there. It's still, you know, the numbers, as you said, pardon the pun, are astronomical. What do you think about that?
I think that case is a very difficult argument to make, because just the pure volume. I mean, let's say it is the case. Let's say you have to be. It's extremely rare that say the odds are 1 in 1 billion. You got 1 billion planets out there, okay, and only 1 out of 1 billion would have the exact right properties to sustain life to the point where it got intelligent. Well, if you assume that the average star has 10 planets, which I think is a pretty good number, or 10 bodies at minimum circling around it, which this star actually has a lot more than that. But that would be that if you assume that, then the number of planets in the Milky Way, which is one galaxy alone, would be 1 trillion. So if you had an odd of if it had to be, if only 1 out of every billion, every billion planets would be capable of sustaining life, that would mean there would be 1,000 intelligent planets with intelligent life on it in just the Milky Way galaxy. Now there's 100 billion galaxies in the universe, so. The numbers get crazy stupid out there, and that's making the case that it's extremely, extremely hard. Now, what we're finding out is that's not the case anymore. Life wants to live. If you dive down a submersible, you know, out here in the Atlantic, down to about 10,000 feet where they have the vents coming out the bottom of the ocean, you've got water temperatures where you've got, you know, 500, 600, 700 degrees, sometimes higher temperature than that, okay? Toxic gases. No sunlight, and you have life there. You've got life in somebody's you know, springs and such in the middle of Death Valley, where the chemistry of them are so toxic that they, you know, would kill you if you took a shot glass and drank it of that stuff. It would kill you. And there's life in there. So it's, life doesn't need perfect, you know, warm conditions. Life basically, if you got energy and you got chemistry, you can get life. So I think it's much, much more probable, and there's probably a lot more life out there. You know, not all planets are going to, you know, develop eventually, are going to, you know, quickly develop intelligent life. But I think life always goes from simple to more complex. So you have enough time, you know, it's going to pop up everywhere. So I just don't think it's a sustainable argument.
Well, that's a good point, and I'm you know, certainly did not throw that out to debate you on that. But I do want to have some more conversation with you about that. I've got some other stuff I'd like to just throw out there and see what you think about it. Not on the show, of course, but sometime when we're just hanging out. But, Pete, man, I appreciate you calling in. It's like we're up against the clock here, but super interesting. I'm glad you had an experience to share. I don't know if I've ever heard you tell that story before. What year was that? Do you remember about when that happened?
That was in 1998.
98, okay.
Yeah, 1998. It was 4th of July, 1998. So, but it was about 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
so way
yeah,
before,
okay.
and it wasn't a place where you couldn't have shot a firework up without being seen, because we were about a mile out from in the middle of the Potomac River off the Dahlgren Naval Base, where it's
right.
You know, starting to go into the Chesapeake Bay. Yep.
Gotcha. Cool, man. Okay. Well, again, thank you. Thank you for calling in, taking the time out of your Sunday afternoon and joining us and sharing with us. And we'll probably, we may talk about this some more next week. I'm not sure yet. It depends on how much feedback we get. But I had some other things I want to talk about, but I really wanted to hear from you. That's the reason I reached out to Lisa this afternoon. I figured she was more likely to be looking at Facebook than you were. So.
The understatement of the year.
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, I'm always happy to join in. I mean, we do listen to you quite a bit here. Yeah, I like to hear how my old buddy Sam's doing out there with his talk show. So we like to listen, and more than happy
well,
to be on anytime
that.
You have. Anything else you want to talk about?
I appreciate that. I'm sure we could have some other things to talk about. So, but anyway, we're going to be out of here, Pete. You and Lisa have a great evening, and we'll hopefully see you before too long once we can
Sounds
get out
good.
Of the house.
Stay safe, okay?
Thank you, brother.